today is April Fool's Day. For 6 months, I have been racking my brain at what I could do today for April Fool's Day. And I couldn't come up with something that was on the one hand epic enough for an Easter that falls on April Fool's Day, and yet something that wouldn't get me in trouble. I thought and I thought and I thought. I thought about maybe having someone else come out in my robe and pretend to be me for the first half of the service. Like, just act like you're all crazy, right? Because I come from a long line of great April Fool's pranksters. My grandmother was an elementary school teacher, and every April Fool's, she would wear two different shoes to school, and all day long, her kids were saying, "Mrs. Willis, you have on two different shoes," and she would say, "Oh, no, you don't. You're just trying to get me to look for April Fool's." That is a big image to live up to. I have on the same shoes. Couldn't think of what to do. April Fool's Day. You know, I mean, it's funny when you think of it. April Fool's Day on Easter, right? The women get to the tomb. The stone's rolled away. The tomb is empty. They're like, "What happened?" And Jesus jumps out, "April Fool's!" But I just couldn't make it fit. So instead, I thought we would talk about heroes. We have a lot of need for heroes in our world. We live in a world where our children face violence in school, where relationships end in bloodshed, where countries war over centuries-old vendettas and neighbor slights neighbor. We live in a world where the senseless nonsense of racism and prejudice still rear their ugly heads with all too common frequency. We live in a world where tragedy has become normal and injustice surrounds us on all fronts. We live in a world where oppression and cruelty are everyday occurrences, where addiction and depression imbue the lives of people who simply yearn to breathe free. As we look at the world in its current state, isn't it obvious we need heroes? For the last 6 weeks during Lent, the church has indulged me as I have whimsically talked of heroes. Comic book heroes. Stories of the Fantastic Four and the Incredible Hulk, Captain America and Green Lantern and Spider-Man have been intertwined with ideas of faith and spirituality. We have talked of the call we receive, the righteous anger we are filled with, the fear we must overcome, the family we surround ourselves with, the responsibility that grace and salvation bring with them. We have heard these fantastical tales of superheroes, the wonderful powers they have, the amazing abilities they are blessed with or cursed with, the incredible spandex cape-waving, brightly colored, form-fitting suits they all wear. There's an old Calvin and Hobbes cartoon that I remember. Calvin Hobbes, that little boy, and he had an imaginary friend, was his pet tiger. And Hobbes the tiger one day was reading one of Calvin's comic books. And he asked, he said, is their superpower the ability to get into that suit? And Calvin said, "Nah, they can all do that." I used to have a youth group when I was up in Kearney, high school kids, and I would ask them to design their own superheroes sometimes. I'd say, "Make up a superhero." Right? What superpowers would they have? What would their suit look like? What would they be able to do? What power do you think it is that most of them chose? If I asked you to design a superhero this morning, what power do you think would be the most popular? The ability to fly. That's what everybody wants to be able to fly. If it wasn't fly, my high school kids would pick invisibility. Right? Half of them wanted to fly, another third of them wanted to be invisible. The ability to get away and the ability to disappear. That's what most people wanted. When faced with the evil in this world, can you really blame them? Far too often, that is what Jesus' disciples pick as well. The problem is, I think the world is just too big. The fear we have is that we can't save the whole world. The problem's too big. There's shootings in schools and wars that ravage countries. Millions of refugees, homeless people in need. Hungry people in a world with an abundance of food. Slavery still exists. Diseases that evolve every day. The world is too much. We look at the situation and we think, what can I possibly do? Because in all reality, I don't have any superpowers. I don't. I wish I'd been dumped in a vat of radioactive chemicals that transformed me into a man-beast of super strength and speed. It's not that I don't have dreams and goals. The reality is I don't have any superpowers. I'm just average, everyday Mark. The permanent alter ego. Clark Kent all the time. Never Superman. What can I possibly do to save the world? But we've gotten our role wrong. We don't have to save the whole world. Jesus already did that. Jesus is our Superman. He already did the heavy lifting. He already saved the world. It's why we have Easter, because Jesus saved. Do not be alarmed, the scripture says. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. With that single act of resurrection, Jesus saved us. That bit is done. I don't have to save the whole world. And still, we freeze. We stop. We get away and disappear. What can I do? I don't have any powers. I'm just plain old me. I'm nobody. That is exactly who God needs you to be. In order to be the hero that God needs, God isn't looking for the superhuman, the man-beast, the Wonder Woman. God is just looking for you. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. God doesn't need you to be Superman. God needs you to be Clark Kent. Foolish, lowly, weak, things that are not. God needs you to be nothing so that everything comes from God. You don't need superpowers. You need faith. Through faith, God will raise up wisdom and strength and power. God doesn't need you to be a superhero. God needs you to be a faithful servant. God needs you to be a willing vessel, and through you, the one who saved the world can then act. You don't have to save the world. You just have to serve it. Because I can't save the whole world. I can't save 7 billion people facing struggles and difficulties I can only begin to imagine. But I can, maybe I can save just one person. We live in an amazing time for comic book nerds. TV shows and movies are bringing our superhero stories to life in amazing ways. Black Panther, which came out 2 months ago, about a fairly unknown superhero, just passed the $1.2 billion mark worldwide. This June, Avengers Infinity War is going to open the culmination of 10 years worth of intertwining stories in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They are anticipating it could make $2 billion before it's done. We get 4 or 5 superhero movies a year now, done well. and so many TV shows I can't keep up. This is referred to as the golden age of superhero movies. Characters we have read on the comic page for decades are finally being given new life in film. Last November, the Justice League finally got its own movie, and I was so excited. I've been a fan of the Justice League since I was a little kid when I used to watch Saturday morning cartoons. Super Friends was one of my favorite shows. The Justice League, Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman and The Flash together in a blockbuster film. Now, for being honest, it didn't do as well as they'd hoped. Some cynics, like my wife, don't think it's a very good movie. It only made $650 million against a budget of $300 million. For a movie to make money, it has to make 2.5 times its budget. After you figure in all the advertising and all the other stuff that goes on, it has to make 2.5 times. So it needed to make $1 billion, and it didn't. It fell short. Still, I liked it. Seeing those characters together on the big screen, together for the first time, it was absolutely fantastic. There's a scene where they're getting ready to join the fight against the movie's big bad guy. Steppenwolf was his name. Apparently, after he failed to come up with a second song to Born to Be Wild, he took up world domination instead. I don't remember that, but that's how that works. They're getting ready to join the fight, and the Flash, who's just a kid, he turns to Batman and he says, "I have a problem." And Batman says, "What's your problem?" The Flash said, "You all kind of fight people. I don't really fight people. He goes, "That's not what I do." He goes, "I kind of push people and run away." And Batman looks at him and he says, "Just save one." Flash is like, "What are you talking about?" Batman says, "There's innocent people. They're in the way in there. They're going to get hurt." He said, "I don't need you to save all of them. Just save one." So the Flash runs into the room and he grabs one of the victims and he races away with them and he gets him away to a safe place and puts him down. And as he does, he realizes what he just did. He just saved one. And he is so filled with wonder that he turns around and runs back into the fray again to save another and another and another. We can't save the world. And truthfully, we don't need to. Jesus saves the world. We just have to save one. So how do we do it? We are called not in our power, but in our powerlessness. Not in our wisdom, but in our foolishness. Not in our strength, but in our weakness. Not to save the whole world, but just to save one person who needs us today. And with what am I supposed to save them? With super strength and X-ray vision and the ability to talk to fish? No. We can't do these things. They're made-up powers in a made-up world. No. We're called to reach out and save one person with kindness, with love, with grace, with acceptance. We're called to save one with mercy, with compassion, with justice. We are called to save one with hope, with healing, with wholeness. Do you know anyone in your life, anyone in your path, anyone in your presence that could use a little bit of those superpowers? Because in a world that values greed and selfishness, compassion and mercy are superpowers. In a world that values power and oppression, justice and righteousness are superpowers. In a world that values racism and sexism, hope and acceptance are superpowers. We don't have to move mountains and stop speeding bullets. We just have to see hurt and respond with kindness, see hopelessness and respond with connection, see injustice and say no, no more. It isn't the next world-ending catastrophe that we have to fly into the mouth of a volcano to stop. It's the littlest, simplest things. We have to serve. We have to forgive. We have to love. I screwed up this past month. as a church, we serve a meal at the Johnson County Food Ministry down in Olathe every fifth Thursday. So anytime a month has five Thursdays in it, we take that fifth one. It works out to about four, sometimes five times a year that we go down and serve. We go down, we cook a meal, and then the doors are open. Anybody can come in, and we serve that meal, restaurant style, to the folks that come in. We've done it for about 7 years now, and I'll be honest, we're getting pretty good at it. Right? Our cooks know what they're doing. Right? They know when the food has to go in the oven. They're able to get our costs down. I think we average, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Carol, but we average a little under $1 per plate. A little under $1 per plate. So we've got 7 years, we've gotten pretty good at feeding people. What we're not good at, we discovered, is reading a calendar. Back last fall, when we signed up for our fifth Thursdays, I didn't think about when Lent was, when Holy Week was. So we got to February, and I'm looking ahead at the calendar, and I discover that the fifth Thursday in March happens to be known by another term in the church. It's called Holy Thursday, or Maundy Thursday. It's when we celebrate the Last Supper, when Jesus ate with his disciples before the crucifixion event. Oops. We serve the meal down at Johnson County Food Ministry from 5:30 to 6:30, but our cooks are down there half the day. Doing the meal and then coming back here to do a worship service was going to be difficult. Our volunteers get a little tired when that meal's done. I'm tired when that meal gets done. Someone suggested maybe we should just back out of doing the meal, but we know what a struggle it is for Johnson County Food Ministry to find groups to cook all their meals. We're not going to back out on them a month out. We've committed to serving a meal to people that night. We're going to be there. So we got a kind of a crazy idea. We said, you know, what if we didn't have a worship service that night here? What if we took communion with us down to the food ministry? So we did. Over in a corner of the room, we set up a little, there was a plate with a broken bread loaf on it, and there was a cup with the juice in it. There was a small candle, and there was a little sign there that told people, today's Holy Thursday, and we celebrate the Last Supper. If you'd like to take communion, simply tear off a small piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and take it. Say a prayer if you'd like. We told our tables about it. We pointed it out, let them know they were welcome at the table. There were maybe 100 people there last Thursday. Throughout the night, I saw six of them go over to take communion. One couple went over, probably in their early 40s, they went over and they read the sign, and they kind of looked around confused, almost like it was a trap that had been set out in some way. Like if they reached for the bread, we were going to handcuff them and put them on a committee, something like that, right? They kind of looked around, and they looked at each other, questioned, they looked at this, and they started to look around the room, and I was about 20 feet away, and they made eye contact with me. And they looked at me, and they didn't say anything. They looked at me, and they looked at the communion, and they looked back at me, and they kind of shrugged their shoulders. And I simply looked at them and nodded. And they turned around, and they took each other's hands, and they said a quiet prayer together. And they each broke a piece of bread, and they dipped it in the cup, and they took it. They didn't make eye contact with me again. They went back over to their table. A little while later, a grandmother came in late to the meal. She came in with her grandson. He was about 10 years old. And they came over. They were going to sit at a table that just happened to be right next to this communion station. And as they got ready to sit down, the grandmother was about halfway down when her eye caught the candle that was lit there. And she stopped, still kind of like she was sitting, but she looked over and saw the sign. I could see her reading it. And she kind of straightened back up, and she took her grandson's hand, and she led him over to the table. They said a little prayer together, and she showed him how to tear the bread and how to dip it in the cup. Then they went back to their table. What an amazing night. I have taken communion thousands of times in my life. And I gotta be honest, sometimes I just take the bread and take the cup, and my mind and my spirit are somewhere else. But Thursday, during a community meal where people, many of whom would aptly be described as the least of these, where these folks gather for good meal and good connection, I saw communion as a blessed event of grace once again. It was beautiful. Realistically, us taking communion out to the community is not going to save the world, and that's okay. Jesus already did that. But for those six people that night, maybe, just maybe, it changed their world. God needs heroes. Our world needs heroes. You are that hero. Don't worry about not having powers. God will provide the power. Don't get frustrated by the enormity of need. Just save one. God needs you today. Be the church God is calling you to be. Be the disciples God is calling you to be. Be the heroes.